we're back to the Neil Haley show. And I tell you, one topic that gets people going is the Titanic. And I'm very, very blessed every day to interview very interesting people. And my guest today is Dr. Loring Stead. And Dr. Stead is a former doctor, and I'll explain that, but also is going to talk about the Titanic today. I consider you a Titanic expert. Would you say after you've written this book, you're a Titanic expert?
Well, I wouldn't claim that myself, but I'll tell you this. What if the sinking of the Titanic was no accident? Sinking the unsinkable. And I was foot and ankle surgery for 35 years. Always had a real keen interest in the Titanic because I always heard about this relative that went down in the Titanic when I was a kid. I heard about this guy, Boy Billy, and it ended up that after like 10 years of hearing about this when I was a little kid down in Harmony, Minnesota, northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, here we are landlocked and I'm hearing about the Titanic.
Right.
Didn't think much about it for about 10 years. You know, you always hear things about relatives, a crazy uncle in the closet, who knows what's going on. And then we moved to a different town. Nothing really happened. I had a normal life for about 10 years, then went off to school at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. And one of the first assignments was in this course called Paideia, which is Latin for knowledge. It was a combination of like English and history. We had to deep dive into our family. So I deep dived into our family. And here this guy kept coming up, W.T. Stead, W.T. Stead. W.T., that's William. William Thomas Stead, that's Boy Billy. I heard about 10 years of Boy Billy forever, knew everything about Billy. And then I started researching it during that time at Luther. And everything I read, it's like, you know, I had like 6 months to do it for this little class.
Right.
And it was just unbelievable. Everything I read, it's like, already knew that.
Exactly.
So now go back. So then after 35 years of practice, I always had an interest in the Titanic, but asking if I'm an expert in it, I hit an iceberg called COVID and had to retire. At that time, my wife, double COVID actually, so I'm, that's another story. But in that time, my wife said, you know what? You've always been interested in your relative. Why don't you deep dive on him? So literally there's probably 140 some books with Titanic in the name. I've read probably half of them. So in that sense, I probably am getting closer to be in that top group of people that know about the Titanic. And then where I am unique is we have a huge reservoir of oral tradition, at least 10 years that I sat there in this little corner listening to all my ancestors talking about Boy Billy, who ends up being W.T. So now reading all these books to date, very seldom do I come across something that's new. The names make sense. The scenes make sense. It's really, really been exciting. The five people on the boat, W.T. was really interesting. He was the world expert on child sex trafficking prevention. And your listeners, don't believe me on anything. Start Googling this. I'm not going to spoon feed you anything. Google it, read it, and you'll see, oh my gosh, this is legitimate. Now, I am proposing something new that I'm getting. Stead was a pretty interesting character, you'll see. He was living in the Victorian age, 1850 to 1910, one of the youngest editors of a major newspaper in London called the Pall Mall Gazette. Well, lo and behold, he was kind of a troublemaker. He was kind of always sticking the side of the Victorians going, well, we don't do this, don't do that. It's like, yes, you do. Look at over on the east side of London is Jack the Ripper. He wrote about Jack the Ripper. He wrote about bad, the underbelly of society that unfortunately humans are about. Well, lo and behold, Stead, being a troublemaker, I think I have gotten onto a new word. He invented like 20 words. So I think one word I have is historical friction. Because they go, what genre are you? Are you in fiction or nonfiction? It's historical friction because I'm going to reveal a bunch of stuff never before revealed. It's going to make a lot of people uneasy. Well, he was the leading expert on child sex trafficking prevention. They wanted Stead dead. Google it. In 1885, he basically single-handedly helped bring age of consent from like 13 years of age up to 16, which was huge. that made a lot of the Harvey Weinsteins and the Jeff Epsteins of the world very mad. For many years, they tried to plan. They got to get Stead out. He's out. And then on this same ship was his best friend, John J. Astor, the richest man in the world, the Guggenheims, the Strausses. And what did those three families have that were interest? They were not in favor of coming off and going to the new thing called the Federal Reserve System. And if you start now, the first assignment for your readers, Google W.T. Stead, get a little background and see what he's about. Then read Jekyll Island. What happened in 1913? We invented this new thing called gold standard. Who was for that? The families of the, and this is all true, so this is not ruffling many feathers, but the truth is, who was for that? The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, J.P. Morgan. Mm. Now, J.P. Morgan will be an interesting part of this because he owned the Titanic.
Oh my gosh.
I have a story where Stead was notorious late. We're always late. Steads are late. So Stead gets to the Titanic the morning it's going to sail.
Okay.
So this is April 10th, gets there mid-morning, should have been there far earlier because it's going to sail to France that first time at about noon. He gets there a little bit late, gets out of his carriage. Imagine the event, Neil. Imagine there's like 50 to 100,000 people at this dock. This is the biggest thing of its time. It's magnificent. It's huge. It's unsinkable. This is the greatest ship of all time. Everybody in London was down there. And how were they down there? A lot walked. A lot came by horse or carriage. Some came by train. There was a train station not far away. Some drove this new thing called a car. Could you imagine just the sights and sounds and noises and smells that are occurring at this station at this time? Well, Stead gets out of his carriage at the bottom of the little ramp going up. He hated heights. He was met at the bottom by the chief purser. Stead had traveled. Stead was well known in the Victorian age. And he was met by the first purser, chief purser, McElroy, I think the guy's name is. And he goes, "Good morning, Mr. Stead. How are you doing? Come on up." And Stead's like crawling up the little ramp and he gets to the top. Who's up there? Captain Smith. Captain Smith knew Stead well. This is a story passed down through the generations.
Wow.
That one I haven't been able to validate, but the names are all there, but whatever. So when they get to the top, Smith is getting ready to leave because he's got to get the ship going. And the purser gets him up there and he says, "I apologize to you guys." Purser says, I think he was suite 89 is not quite ready yet. Can you just talk to the captain here a minute?" And Captain Smith was happy to do it because Stead was well known in the circles of being able to tell a story. And just like this, all being said, I could be wrong. I don't know. But Stead was known to never let the truth get in the way of a good story, which is a mummy story that won't be covered today, but we'll cover this another time. He snuck a mummy on board. That's another whole story. Lo and behold, he and Smith are to the side just a minute while his room's getting ready. So he's looking down at his people getting in and getting out. And he sees this carriage pull up, real fancy carriage, up out opens the door, real nice, pretty young gal gets out,
starts
heading up the thing, and who gets out behind him? I don't even know if I should reveal this yet because these
you
are in the book.
It's in the book. You should not. No, I'm gonna stop it.
So a very famous man gets out from behind this young kind of starlet almost like, and Smith and Stead kind of chuckle at each other and go, "I wonder who his niece is this time."
Oh my gosh. So this guy was things that you find out.
He was noted. Yeah, he was noted to travel with younger women. Well, this young lady starts up the gangplank. Right away, this older, very distinctive gentleman with a beard, with a mustache, and we'll detail that further in the book.
In the book. So you can't keep giving this away, Dr. Stead.
Oh, we won't. Well, it'll be good. So the sink, the unsinkable, but in that, this is just one of many, many stories. He gets like a little manila envelope, right? And they can see down there. And he reads it, closes it, calls the woman back.
Right.
Gets her in the carriage. Not till then had Smith and Stead and this gentleman seen eyes, connected eyes. Smith and Stead look at each other. we're never going to see America. There is some reason that person didn't get on the ship. What?
And who? What? And, who was the one that did not get on the ship?
Not going to tell you.
Oh, see, you're killing me. All right, so let's kind of go. So
let's just say very famous, very known. But these are stories that.
What about William? Did William go on the ship? Did he end up in the ship when the Titanic's your
WT. WT is on the ship talking to Smith up on top.
No, but what about when the Titanic sunk? He was on the ship.
Absolutely. He was in cabin 89. He is depicted. He was the guy given credit for at the end of the movie. They played Nearer Thy God to Me. Stead requested that. He's given credit for requested.
Well, oh, known on the Titanic show. Movie, yes, which everyone watches whatever.
In real life, it would bag the movie. I'm talking about reality stuff. Oh. He's given credit in. You can Google that. And there's a lot of mystery and intrigue about the Titanic, but what I'm going to be revealing is the pre-Titanic stuff. This is stuff that ends up, we'll cover, the book will cover the Titanic, but this is what happened before the Titanic left to incite some evil people in America and England to conspire to say, we have to make sure that ship never sees America.
Okay.
And they weren't going to sink it. It was unsinkable. Their goal was to confirm who was on the ship, and they were able to do that. They basically hired a couple of the officers on the ship who had no idea why they were doing this. Humans respond to money. They were going to be paying big sums of money to at some point bump up against an iceberg,
right,
force it back into Halifax. They can't sink it. It's unsinkable. In Halifax, some things were going to be occurring. Either guides were coming to come on the ship, or Stead and that some of these guys might have went off if they were there for a couple of days, but they were going to make sure W.T. Stead, the Strausses, the Guggenheims, John J. Astor, and the fifth one, Archibald Butt, were never going to see America. And Archibald Butt might be a whole story in himself. Yeah. He was the personal attaché from President Taft, sent to the Vatican to get dirt on his upcoming opponent, Wilson, on the upcoming presidential election. I'm telling you, I haven't discovered anything in my reading, except it's confirming everything I've already heard. And I think anybody would come to the conclusion they have. If you read all these books, you start going, this was no accident.
No, at all. Not at all.
There was, you know.
So you think there's some sort of dirtiness that happened that caused the Titanic to sink. They don't want that to ever come out, and someday it might. And you're the one that's be that guy to uncover it. You know, so what I'm doing, and I love this information, it's making everyone go pick up the book. Don't listen anymore before Dr. Stead gets it away. I don't want that to happen. Please don't. Okay. That's me and all these things and these great stories. And again, this is a shorter segment. The one thing I want to ask you is, what is your goal? You said this is your first book on the Titanic. You want to write more books on the Titanic. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. My goal is easy. The goal is nothing to do with Dr. Stead. Has nothing to do with W.T. Stead. It has everything to do with his lifelong pursuit, and now my lifetime pursuit, of exposing the evil of sex trafficking in America that's still going on today. I fully expect I'll be T-boned at some intersection in the middle of the night in Northern Iowa mysteriously if I get too close to the reality. But the Harvey Weinsteins and the Jeff Epsteins of the world do not want the rock taken off and exposing these little scurrying things underneath.
Well, is this in the Titanic book you talk about this fall or not?
Absolutely. And then at the end, I ultimately reference people on how to get involved with your local community on how to identify sex trafficking. For example, Ashton Kirshner, who is one of my, he doesn't know me and I don't know him, but I know he grew up in Iowa, so I take credit for Iowa.
I can try to get that introduction at one point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm connected to celebrities, all these things. And this
he has a group called Thorn that's involved in sex trafficking prevention. Let's get Ashton and I on the same program and talk about this issue. This would be a wonderful introduction for you to him, because he and I are pulling on the rope the same way, trying to undermine what's going on. The evil still goes. Every day you go to a local Target or your big store, you're going to see 20 young people on the wall missing. half of those probably aren't sex
trafficked. So to try to understand your book, your book's about William, but it's you talk Titanic and explain his mission too.
So his mission is all about exposing sex trafficking. And the back end third will fully, I go around the country speaking to other surgeons and docs on how to better identify sex traffickers within your practice. We never had training on how to identify the tattoos and the mannerisms and what's going on that some patient in front of you or client might be sex trafficked. Now we know those techniques. And I go and will speak to people in regard to that. And so the book's not about me. It's not about WT. It's about his mission, his life mission, and now mine, to expose the underlying belly in America and in the world of sex trafficking. And trafficking of humans is, there's more traffic, more slavery in America. I'm sorry, more slavery in the world right now than any time in history.
Truly, in the world.
And a huge subset of that is sex trafficking. It's brutal. It's wrong.
Dean Cain was on my show. He's a big proponent of the sex trafficking movement as well. Another guy that's really doing a lot of stuff that's out there. So there's definitely fit. So the next book, is it going to be just about sex trafficking? What are you looking to write next after this?
Next book, certainly I thought I could really wrap this book up in a year. It's been 2 or 3 years and I'm still working on it. I have to get to England with my son, LJ Stead, who's a fellow podcaster out on the West Coast. And he and I are going to get, right now we meet weekly with Clive Stead, who's the great grandson, the closest descendant of WT, and we meet with him weekly on a Zoom. We're going to go over and collaborate some stuff and then bring it back. So this book series is going to be 2 or 3 to get that. Off of that, hitting icebergs in life, which we all do, we've spun off the little series, thanks to Jack Canfield. He said, Stetter, this is a great idea, chicken soup for the soul. Have something Titanic times, 2 unsinkable and 7 proven steps. And those 7 proven steps, you know, like we are all, think of the Titanic. It was unsinkable, but 3 compartments sunk. And let's say my compartment, let's say I lose my job today. That's 1 compartment sunk. My wife leaves me, compartment 2 sunk. And I get a health concern. Any of us are 3 turns from being homeless in Venice in California. So we need to teach people to know how to go through the steps of what now, what next, and why not. And the biggest step is don't think you're unsinkable.
All right.
We're all unsinkable. When you're seeing that homeless guy you're walking by going, oh, poor him. That can be you, buddy. Be respectful. Give some grace. Be kind. Because we all are sinkable. That's the word.
That's number 1. Absolutely. Where can we purchase the book? Where can we go?
It's not out yet, but it'll be on Amazon.
What about the book? What about your current book?
It'll be on Amazon. We're right now Hybrid Publishing, and it'll be out soon.
Oh, so really right now you're just getting people the Titanic Times, right?
Start calling Amazon right now and saying, where's that book? That'll be get me going on the pre-sales.
All right, we'll definitely do it.
I want to win the conspiracy category for number 1, but it's not. It's historical fiction.
All right. Okay, what about, so the Titanic book is not out either, the first one?
Nope.
That you have, I'm understanding that. So you have a website, right, for people to go right now? Right?
Yep, you can go to titanictimes.org. It's just kind of an up and running little website that's getting going that kind of talks about all this because during the COVID, I hit a Titanic time. I hit an iceberg, my health iceberg. My son hit a financial iceberg. And we, during the COVID times, talked once weekly and did a series of which we've labeled Titanic Times. So we want to welcome the community of everybody else who's hitting iceberg. Everybody listening to your show right now is in some type of iceberg situation. If they start thinking about it, it might be a new relationship. It might be, meaning the good Titanic might be something bad, but you're getting, you're coming up against something that's new to you. It might be graduation, might be confirmation, might be a new job, might be an old job, but don't think you can't go down like the Titanic. You flood 3 compartments, your life is changed.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.